Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I do want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We're grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And if you miss an episode of the show, you can go to the website, gncm.ca, and download the podcast or MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on our website. Just a reminder to the listeners far afield that you can help with the costs of this program when you visit the website by making a donation. And listeners within Canada can certainly receive a tax receipt for donations they make. Today, as we are so close to the season of Christmas, I wanted to address one of the biblical places that is so important to our remembering and telling of the story of the birth of Jesus who came to be our Savior. The town is Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, but it's more than that in the history of the people of Israel. And I want to read to you from a prophecy concerning Bethlehem, and it's a prophecy from the book of the prophet Micah, Chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, and perhaps when you're in church this Christmas season, you'll hear this prophecy being read. It reads, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." This prophecy speaks about a word of hope to a small town in Israel and a word of hope to the whole world. We'll get a chance to look at what it means in a few moments. But first, I would like you to hear a song, one of the most familiar Christmas carols written about this place. The song is called "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and this version is sung by Bruce Cockburn, a Canadian singer, from his album simply titled Christmas.
Gathered all above, While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. Oh, morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
The town of Bethlehem. It's usually thought of in this light, in starlight, in fact, the light of the new star shining over the manger scene in the little town of Bethlehem. It's a town which we remember fondly as a very important place in the story of our Savior Jesus. But it wasn't always that kind of a place. In fact, the first place we hear Bethlehem mentioned in the Scriptures is in the book of Genesis, and Bethlehem is associated with a very sad moment in the life of Abraham, the patriarch of Israel, for it is there that his dearly beloved wife Rachel is giving birth to their last son Benjamin, and she dies in childbirth and is buried in Bethlehem. And the prophecies around Bethlehem, this one speaks about its coming greatness, but there's other prophecies that speak about the voice of Rachel crying out for her children. And that prophecy also comes to bear on the story of Jesus. Bethlehem was destined for some greatness in the Old Testament. Bethlehem was Naomi's home. And if you read the book of Ruth, you find that Naomi and her husband left Bethlehem during a time of famine. Now, that's a very odd thing, because the name Bethlehem means house of bread. And it implies that Bethlehem was a prosperous farming community, that it was sort of the breadbasket of Israel. But during a time of famine, this house of bread becomes an empty cupboard, and Naomi and her husband and two boys go off to another land to try and find help. Now they return, at least Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth return, and all of this can be read about in the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth concludes with the surprise ending that this Ruth, this foreigner brought from the land of Moab, brought back to the city of Bethlehem, who marries Boaz, becomes the mother of Jesse and the grandmother of David, who becomes king of Israel. Now, that was a long time before the coming of Jesus. Many kings of Israel had come and gone since then, and Bethlehem falls out of the record of Scripture for the most part. There's not much to be said about Bethlehem in Judea. It reminds me of a town I used to pass through when I was a young boy or a teenager, and we'd be traveling up a highway in southern Ontario, and we'd go through the little town of Neustadt. It's a small town, a little among the towns of Ontario, And I remember reading every time I passed through a couple of tired old signs that spoke about Neustadt proudly as the birthplace of Diefenbaker, Canada's 13th Prime Minister. To me, it was a little bit of a sad thing because it was such a small town and they seemed to have this one, for me as a young person, such a far distant past. They remembered this prime minister that had been born there. That was its only mark, it would seem, on history. And when I think about Bethlehem in the days of the census when Jesus' parents came into the town, I imagine they must have passed a little old sign in Hebrew writing, weathered and worn, that said, "The birthplace of David, King of Israel." It was a long time ago in ancient history, and I imagine that the young people growing up in Bethlehem thought of it as just a little hick town, a place where nothing ever happened, where the prophecy at least was true when it said that you will be abandoned until the one who is to come arrives. Bethlehem probably felt abandoned through all those years. And yet, the prophecy was true. The word of God is everlasting. And this town, whose glory's days were past, was about to experience the most earth-changing, life-changing event that had ever happened in all of history. We know the story about how the angels were off in the fields, and then the glory of God shone among them, and a host of angels sang to them about peace on earth and giving the message of God's favor towards people because of the child wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger. And we also remember how these shepherds, these wise men, led by a star, went to Jerusalem because they thought the stars were saying that a new king was being born in Israel. And they went to Jerusalem thinking that's where kings get born. But they were redirected by the priests in the temple who looked up the scriptures and saw that there was a prophecy that if a king was going to be born for Israel, a great king, that it would happen in the little town of Bethlehem. And so we remember this moment of excitement and joy when Bethlehem came into its inheritance, came into its special place in history, and the prophecy was fulfilled. It's great to know that God's word is everlasting, great to know that an obscure promise, or what seemed an obscure promise in those days, turned out to be of great importance, not only for the people of Bethlehem, but for all the people of the earth. Well, we'll take a further examination of this these events when we come back after listening to a song which I recently found in my collection. It's by a Canadian singer, Ali Matthews, singing The Cry of Bethlehem. And this is from an album which is called Sea to Sea, A Canadian Christmas.
The story told over endless years of a starry night. A mother's tears went through the stillness. You could hear a baby's cry. Into the darkness shone a holy light, with a song to warm the coldest night. A host of angels sing a sweet refrain, their song, the cry of Bethlehem. This tiny child salvation brings. Repeat the sounding joy again. This is the cry of Bethlehem. From heaven's home,
Cry of Bethlehem is a cry of a baby who has been born to us, a son, a king, not just the son of Mary, but the son of God, that God sent his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The words of Scripture and the promise of Scripture continues. And we were talking about how Bethlehem was a sad little town before Jesus came along. And it was a town that was born in sorrow with the death of Rachel, but it was also a town in which the story of Jesus brings its share of sorrow. Hard times fell on Bethlehem because Jesus was born there. King Herod, afraid of any rival, had determined that the wise men were heading to Bethlehem to worship a newborn king, and he intended to put an end to any rival. And so he sent soldiers in, and he slaughtered the children of Bethlehem. Even when God is at work, evil rears its ugly head, and sorrow falls upon Bethlehem once again. It's not pretty, but it is true. It's the reality of our world, the world which Jesus came to rescue, a world which Jesus came to redeem. This little town of Bethlehem reminds me at this time of all the little news pieces I'm seeing on American news about small little forgotten towns going in and doing human interest pieces, especially addressing the question of why these little towns voted the way they voted in the last American presidential election. And you hear the stories of people whose lives have not been going well, whose towns are declining and empty of young people, empty of jobs, empty of industry, and they're hoping that some new leader will turn around their fortunes. In fact, I can't get out of my mind Simon and Garfunkel's old song, "In My Little Town." It wasn't one of the most popular. It was a little perspective on small-town America from their perspective. And I keep thinking about how in these little towns and in the big towns that so often our hope is put in the wrong place, that we hope for some new initiative, some new program or policy, some new leader in government or in some other area that's going to turn things upside down. Even those who believed the prophecy about Bethlehem bringing a new leader to Israel still thought of that leader in human terms, expecting that this whoever would be born would be a military leader who'd throw out the Romans, who would take care of all the economic problems and everything would be fine again. They expected that God's solution to the problem of evil would be the same as their own solution to it. They put their hope in these things, but God was giving them a hope through this child who would be born not to lead armies, but to transform human hearts. that would bring people, not putting the enemies to death, but bring wounded and wicked human beings from death to life. And so the hope that we celebrate at Christmas is for this child born in Bethlehem, but not one who wields the sword, but who brings redemption and healing into the earth. We've been 2,000 years with the message of the gospel. And perhaps this Christmas, you're having difficulty seeing how it all ties together. What does it mean in your town, in your community, in your nation, in this generation? Does Jesus still offer hope? Does Jesus still offer redemption? Many of you can say yes. Many of you listen to this program and to other programs because they remind you of the work God has already done in your heart. They remind you of how you went from guilt and sorrow to freedom and to joy in Christ. The Word of God for you is a resting place, not of old dead memories, but of a living hope in Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that we can do something to encourage each Christian that listens to this program. But we also know that some listeners are looking for something, especially at the Christmas season, wondering whether the story of Jesus can make a difference in their lives. And here's the truth. It can. It will. And all that is required of us is that we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we allow Him to make the changes in our hearts that He desires to make. It's too long have we waited for God to change the circumstances around us. Too long have we blamed the events and vicissitudes of life for our problems. Now is the time to come to Jesus and to say to this child of Bethlehem, to transform us by the renewing of our lives, not to merely ask God to change the things that annoy us in the world, but to bring new life into us. Jesus came with a message of repentance, and all who received that message received it joyfully because they recognized a God who loved them enough to call them into new life and to receive them gladly and joyfully. There were those who refused to repent, who found Jesus just to be trouble and annoying because He seemed to be saying there was something wrong with their lives. And Jesus told them over and over again, "Look at me. I'm able to heal the sick and give sight to the blind. If you would allow me, if you would admit to me that you need healing, I could heal you." That's the call of Jesus today. Bethlehem was a tired little town, perhaps waiting for a one kind of Savior. But the Savior that they gave, that God gave them, is the same Savior that He gives to you and to me today. Let's turn our hearts to God in prayer. Almighty God, thank You for Jesus, for calling us to a new life, for calling us to let go of hopes that don't lead anywhere, and giving to us a hope that leads to everlasting life. Lord, let all people this Christmas come to know Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. We thank you because you keep us on the air week by week, and we want to encourage you to support our ministry financially and in prayer. Your gift can help us to meet the one vital expense, which is the cost of broadcasting, which enables us to reach you and over 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley. If you can please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184 Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, we will be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. Please encourage others to listen to the program as well. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now to conclude our program, I would like to have you listen to a song by another Canadian artist. This song is called Is Bethlehem Too Far Away? And it invites us to draw near to the Child of Bethlehem. This is sung by Carolyn Ahrens from her album The Irrational Season. I do pray that God will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
If we close our eyes, can we see the star? Can we find our path in its light? And if we are still, tell me, can we hear the song of the angels tonight? Can we find our way to the baby king? Can we worship him now in the hay? Can we believe he can change everything? Or is Bethlehem too far away? If we dream our dreams with our wisest hearts, will we dream of peace on earth? Will our lips proclaim glad tidings of a wonderful counselor's birth?
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.